Our first reading for this evening is from the 9th chapter of Job. Then Job replied, "Indeed, I know that this is true. But how can mere mortals prove their innocence before God? Though they wished to dispute with him, they could not answer him one time out of 1,000. His wisdom is profound. His power is vast. Who has resisted him and come out unscathed? He moves mountains without their knowing it and overturns them in his anger. He shakes the earth from its place and makes its pillars tremble. He speaks to the sun and it does not shine. He seals off the light of the stars. He alone stretches out the heavens and treads on the waves of the sea. He is the maker of the Bear and Orion, the Pleiades and the constellations of the south. He performs wonders that cannot be fathomed, miracles that cannot be counted. When he passes me, I cannot see him. When he goes by, I cannot perceive him. If he snatches away, who can stop him? Who can say to him, 'What are you doing?' God does not restrain his anger. Even the cohorts of Rahab cowered at his feet. How then can I dispute with him? How can I find words to argue with him? Though I were innocent, I could not answer him. I could only plead with my judge for mercy. Even if I summoned him and he responded, I do not believe he would give me a hearing. He would crush me with a storm and multiply my wounds for no reason. He would not let me catch my breath, but would overwhelm me with misery. If it is a matter of strength, he is mighty. And if it is a matter of justice, who can challenge him? Even if I were innocent, my mouth would condemn me. If I were blameless, it would pronounce me guilty. He is not a mere mortal like me that I might answer him, that we might confront each other in court. If only there was someone to mediate between us, someone to bring us together, someone to remove God's rod from me, so that his terror would frighten me no more. Then I would speak up without fear of him. But as it now stands with me, I cannot." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Our second reading is from the 4th chapter of John. Once more he visited Cana in Galilee, where he had turned the water into wine. And there was a certain royal official whose son lay sick at Capernaum. When this man heard that Jesus had arrived in Galilee from Judea, he went to him and begged him to come and heal his son, who was close to death. "Unless you people see signs and wonders," Jesus told him, "you will never believe." The royal official said, "Sir, come down before my child dies." "Go," Jesus replied, "your son will live." The man took Jesus at his word and departed. While he was still on the way, his servants met him with the news that his boy was living. When he inquired as to the time when his son got better, they said to him, "Yesterday, at 1 in the afternoon, the fever left him." Then the father realized that this was the exact time at which Jesus had said to him, "Your son will live." So he and his whole household believed. This was the second sign Jesus performed after coming from Judea to Galilee. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. We recite responsibly the next portion in our small catechism on the first commandment. What is the first commandment? "You shall have no other gods." What does this mean? We should fear, love, and trust in God above all things. Tonight in our first reading, as with last week, we're in Job. And as with last week, we are given quite a picture of not only our lives, like we saw last week with Job, but today we see our lives in relation to God. And Job reveals quite a bit to us about the nature of God, the power of God, the might of God, and how nothing in this world can compare to him. That it really places us and God in these truly separate categories, as we should be. He is God. We are man. We are mortal. He is divine. Even some of the phrases that Job said in here, in regard to death, Job said, if he snatches away, who can stop him? Who can say to him, what are you doing? And he's right. Which one of us could ever question God and say, why are you doing that? Why would you do that? But we do that, don't we? We do it far too much. And not even with greatly significant things like death. We do it with even smaller things. Mediocre. Yet the question always is, can we really control God? Job also said, even if I summoned him and he responded, I do not believe he would give me a hearing. What control does Job have over God that he could order him around as if Job could tell God, come here, Job, or come here, God, and we're going to have a talk. We're going to have a hearing. We're going to be in court, basically, so I can make my case to you. No. Job realizes full well his place. His place and God's place. Which leads us back to this first commandment and probably the greatest. You shall have no other gods. What does this mean? We should fear, love, and trust in God above all things. Because God is God. We are mortal. And it is purely by God's grace, by His mercy, by His kindness, that He doesn't just wipe off the whole of creation. Instead, He had something quite different in mind. Did you catch what Job said near the end of this reading tonight? When he went through all of these sections about how great and mighty and all-powerful God is, which is all true. And that God is just if he wants to snatch someone away into death. He is just if he wants to flip a mountain over out of his anger. He can do it. And he's done it before, hasn't he? Let's not forget the great flood and the final days of judgment. But near the end, Job made this last wonderfully gospel-filled prophecy of the Christ. Which is not quoted in the New Testament as a prophecy of the Christ, but I truly think we'd have to be spiritually blind not to see it. Job lamented, almost in his heart of hearts, truly a lamentation, a crying out. He said this, if only there were someone to mediate between us, meaning between God and man, someone to bring us together, someone to remove God's rod from me. Meaning someone who would take God's punishment in Job's place. That someone, without a shadow of a doubt, is Jesus Christ. The great mediator between us, between God and man. Hebrews says this. Someone to bring us together. How much closer can you get to someone than actually taking on their flesh and their blood, like Jesus did for us? Someone to remove God's rod from me. The abuse that we deserve, the punishment we deserve, all inflicted upon Christ in his great suffering, in his death. This is Jesus. And out of this, because Jesus has done this, then we are able to call upon him, as Job said. Then I would speak up without fear of him. But as it now stands with me, I cannot. But in the days of Jesus, as we see here in the Gospel of John, in our second reading for tonight, people did call upon Jesus, didn't they? The royal official begged him to come and heal his son, who was close to death, close to being snatched away. Royal official begged God to intervene so that his son would not suffer the rod. And that royal official's prayers were answered through the word that Jesus spoke. His son did live. But even greater prayers were answered later in Jesus' ministry through his death, his resurrection, and especially his ascension into heaven, where he reigns for us right now as Hebrews says, our own high priest, our great mediator between God and man, someone who truly has brought us together. As the scriptures say, Christ is the one who has broken down that wall of hostility between God and us, who truly deserve God's hostility, don't we? But are not given it anymore. Because our Lord Jesus Christ is that one who truly has removed God's rod, not just from Job, but from you, from me. And we see it. Every time we come into this church, we look up and we see that moment in Christ's life, in his death, when he suffered for us. In our place. That should be us up there. But we couldn't do it. We couldn't suffer a thousand lives, a million lives enough to pay for our sins. Because we are unholy sacrifices. Sacrifices with blemishes through and through. But not Christ. Not your great mediator. Not the one who has brought you together with God. Not the one who truly was able to remove God's rod from each of us. Job's lamentation is such a wonderful one. Truly one probably from the angst of his heart, praying that if only there were someone to mediate between us, someone to bring us together, someone to remove God's rod from me. Thank God, Job, that you voiced this, because we see how that was fulfilled only in Christ. Amen. And now may the peace of our God, which surpasses our understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.